Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now we're making babies here on Lunchtime Live with a consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist Shane Higgins with me in studio. Happy New Year, Shane.
Many happy returns, Andrea. Yeah.
So for people just joining us today, if you're first time listening to Making Babies, you are here to answer listener questions about maternity and fertility. And over the past number of months, Shane, we've talked about, you know, everything from for people struggling trying to get pregnant, or perhaps they're maybe, you know, trying for a second or third child, whatever the questions, from men and women. You are here to answer them. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. Drop us an email, either lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We thought, because it's the start of the year for people that are maybe thinking about this now over the next 12 months, Where do you start? I suppose is the obvious question.
Well, it's a really good time, because I know people will have overindulged over Christmas and New Year. So if they're thinking about conceiving this year, now is the time to start planning. And this takes us right back to the start of the journey, going to see your healthcare provider, typically your GP. Just get a health check. Tell them your story. If there's anything in your medical history that's relevant that might impact on fertility or pregnancy, if you're on medications. It's also the time to start thinking about lifestyle choices. So, you know, exercising, getting yourself as fit as possible. It helps with conception. It helps with your fertility, but it also absolutely helps with you coping with the stresses and strains of pregnancy. Cut down on the alcohol, cut down on the caffeine, cut out the smoking, watch your weight. These are the things. Start taking folic acid, any other supplements that you feel you'd like to take.
What else do you need to take? Folic acid is critical.
Folic acid protects the baby from neural... Now, it doesn't prevent, it just reduces the risk significantly of the baby having neural tube defects such as spina bifida or cleft lip and palate. So that's vital. And you should be taking that for 3 months before you conceive, and then 3 months after you get pregnant. So for the first trimester, you should continue to take it. Apart from that, if you have a healthy, well-balanced diet, rich in fruit, vegetables, meat, fish, poultry, then you don't really need to take anything else by way of supplementation. And I think that's something that, you know, over my 40 years in this specialty, I've seen far few women smoking in pregnancy. Most women avoid alcohol during pregnancy, and most have a really healthy, well-balanced diet, so they don't really need to take anything.
Yeah, so there's preparation that goes into the body for men and women in advance
absolutely.
Of conceiving.
Getting yourself into really good shape, as healthy as you can, address any medical concerns. If you're on medications, check to see if they're safe for pregnancy, particularly if you're the woman. And then for a woman, you know, there are probably 12, 13 opportunities in a given year that you can get pregnant, each corresponding to a point of ovulation. So just reflect on your menstrual cycle. Is it about the 28 days, in which case you're likely to be ovulating every month around day 14? But if you have a very short or indeed a very long cycle, so less than 21 days, greater than 35 days, there's a good chance you're not ovulating, and that could be a problem in trying to get pregnant.
Should you go down the route of checking your fertility in advance of just trying naturally?
No, I don't think so. If you're a fit, healthy couple, then there's really no need for you to investigate. I think if you're a little older, and we talk about the 35, 36, if you've been trying for 6 months and haven't managed to get pregnant and conceive and get pregnant, then maybe you should go down and again visit your primary care practitioner for some baseline investigations. And if you are less than that in terms of your age, you should be considering to try. It could take you up to a year to conceive without needing any further investigation.
Listener question here, Shane. How important is good water quality for a couple or somebody undergoing IVF?
I think by and large, the water quality, the drinking water quality in Ireland is very good, and you don't need to change to drinking bottled water. So we do have good water quality, so there's no question about that.
Listener two, recently discovered I'm pregnant. Can I really not drink coffee?
No, in fact, the recommendation is you shouldn't drink more than 200 milligrams, or you shouldn't consume more than 200 milligrams of caffeine a day, which is probably the equivalent of three espresso shots, which are about 60 milligrams each. But I would advise patients, when they ask me, to keep it to about two a day.
And is that coffee or decaf we're talking about now?
That's coffee. Decaf has a much lesser quantity of caffeine in it. But some teas will also have caffeine in it. So you need to just check the quantity of caffeine and try and keep it to the equivalent of two shots of espresso a day.
Okay. Listener two, just discovered that I'm pregnant. I've been a smoker for years and years. I've tried on and off to give up. I've now just gone cold turkey. Any suggestions, though, on how I might be able to help the cravings while pregnant?
That's a very interesting, and I know some people
that
go
must be
from
very hard for somebody that's.
Some people go from smoking to vaping, and or from smoking to nicotine patches or chewing gum, but they all contain nicotine, and that's the concern. Nicotine, obviously, there are far worse chemicals in cigarette smoke and inhaled than there are just more than just the nicotine. So if you can stay cold turkey, and actually, if you're going cold turkey, just go for it, and the cravings will dissipate after a period of time. Look for support. There's lots of support out there. HSE offers support online and phones. So seek that support. But I think you can do, you're doing your pregnancy and your unborn baby an enormous amount of good by not smoking.
Okay. Listener has got in touch, Shane, sorry, they sent us in an email to tell us that, you know, they've been trying naturally to conceive, hasn't worked out for them. They're now thinking of going down the IVF route. So yeah. They're hoping to conceive at some point this year, starting in January. Where should they turn to?
So I suppose IVF is a particular form of assisted human reproduction, and there are other things that can happen before you get to IVF, like IUI, in utero insemination. So you've now two very broad options. You can go privately, in which case you can just book into one of the many, many private fertility services that are available throughout Dublin and the rest of the country. Or if you want to go down the public route, you first of all have to go to your GP. They have to refer you to one of the six public fertility hubs that are now that now exist, based around the big six maternity hospitals, three in Dublin, Cork, Limerick and Galway. And then you would go from there. Whichever facility you refer to or you refer yourself to, they will start by doing history examination, a set of baseline investigations. And those baseline investigations can, to a certain extent, be done by your GP. Are you ovulating? Is your husband's seminal analysis normal? And the third one, which is more difficult to do in anything other than a fertility setting, is checking your tubal patency to make sure your fallopian tubes are patent, and that allows the egg and the sperm to meet.
Okay. A question, I suppose, more under your kind of gynae umbrella, listeners wondering, Shane. My daughter is 17 years of age and hasn't had a period yet. She was referred for an MRI scan and discovered that her uterus hasn't formed. I'm wondering what's the prognosis for her, in your opinion?
Okay, so it sounds like your daughter is suffering from what's known as a congenital uterine anomaly, which means the uterus hasn't developed properly, and the uterus, and often this only comes to light when you go looking for it, because if you're having a period every month, then you assume everything's normal. But the uterus forms in two halves, and when it fuses in utero, when the baby is in utero, the fusion forms and the midline septum breaks down. But that's not the problem. If your daughter hasn't had a period, although there could be a blockage, and that means that the menstrual blood is just accumulating in the uterus. But more importantly, are her ovaries there? Are they functioning? And that's not really more an MRI as opposed to a series of blood tests to indicate whether the axis that controls ovarian function, which is brain, pituitary, ovarian, whether that's working. That's blood tests. So I think you need to go and see a specialist. And if your daughter is that age, then there's an opportunity to go to one of the pediatric adolescent gynae services, which looks after younger women.
Yeah.
We have one at the National Maternity Hospital. The Rotunda, the Coombe will have them as well.
So presumably if she's been referred for an MRI scan and they've had a read of that and there's been a discovery, she's obviously engaged with a consultant or somebody.
I'd like to think so. She could have been referred by her GP for an MRI, but I think if that's been identified, and if she's 17, I believe, and not had a period, she certainly needs to be engaging with some gynae service in the city.
I don't know if hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Listeners had two miscarriages in the past 9 months, Shane. One, is it trisomy 21?
Yeah, trisomy 21.
Trisomy, sorry. And one, triploidy as well.
Yeah.
Is it likely to happen again, or should we look at IVF? She's wondering.
Well, I think that person certainly
needs...
What is
that? Sorry, first of all.
Okay, so trisomy 21 is also known as Down syndrome, and that's where every single cell in the body has three copies of chromosome 21 as opposed to two. Triploidy is where there's three copies of every chromosome in every cell, when there should normally be only two. So that's a more, they're all forms of chromosomal abnormalities.
Okay.
And I think if this person has had two consecutive pregnancy losses, both affected by a chromosomal abnormality such as this, they certainly need to see a geneticist and have some genetic testing and counselling done.
Where would you find? Well, again, we are,
unfortunately, at this point in time, the only maternity hospital in the country with a perinatal geneticist. And Sam Doyle is our consultant perinatal geneticist, and been referred to her through a gynae service. So if you've had miscarriages, you can access the recurrent pregnancy loss service through your local maternity hospital. But if it's as specialised as this, you do need to try and speak to somebody with a genetics background.
And another listener wondering, 40 years of age, I've had my second cesarean section in July of this year. My first was in 2020. Really want to have a third child. I'm worried about the spacing required between a second and third C-section, given my age. Advice online I find quite conflicting. One site says a minimum of 18 months between pregnancies, yeah. Another says 18 months between deliveries. There's been no complications that I'm aware of from previous sections. I spoke to my doctor, who said they thought 12 months seemed, they didn't seem to be aware of the spacing guidelines that are on the HSE website. I'm wondering if you can give me some advice.
Yeah, I would go with 12 months as well. And
From pregnancy or delivery?
12 months from delivery to conceiving again. But the regardless of whether you had any or whether there were any complications with your previous cesarean section, the risk with successive cesarean sections is a relatively rare but very serious complication, which is called placenta accreta spectrum. That's where the placenta attaches beneath the scar from your previous cesarean section and gets stuck to the uterus. And it's very important that that's identified during the course of the pregnancy, because it requires a very specific surgical approach to the delivery of the baby and whatever might ensue thereafter. So bear that in mind when you're planning another pregnancy. I certainly am not telling you not to have another pregnancy, but there is a risk which goes up with each successive cesarean section.
And just a final question for today, Shane. This listener's over 60. They say they're over 60 years of age. My wife is 37. We're hoping to begin IVF this year. Is there any way that we can avail of the HSE services? The HSE rules say no, but I feel it's very unfair.
Yeah, look, you can consider it to be very unfair. I think the HSE have really jumped into this with both feet, and they have to be applauded in that. They've offered public IVF cycles, but there's a limit to the amount of money that they can invest in any one service. And what they've decided to do is establish a set of guidelines which makes it as equitable and fair for the majority of people. There will always be people who will fall outside the guidelines. And unfortunately, due to the gentleman's age, that is the case for him. But there are still plenty of options available in the private sector.
Okay. And then to get details, I'm sure there's loads of fertility clinics, isn't there, out there?
There are absolutely loads of fertility clinics, yeah.
Okay. A nice message to wrap up today, Shane, for you from a listener to say, we found the making baby segment very helpful over the last year. We were trying for a second baby for almost 12 months after a very quick conception with our first. But I'm happy to say that I'm now sitting with a bump of 22 weeks, so congratulations. But one of the most comforting things I heard Shane Higgins say on the show was that to never give up, all it takes is one egg, one sperm, which kept me going when my mind was thinking the worst, says this listener. So a nice compliment, Shane, for you today. You're going to be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday to answer listener questions. You can always drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. And I do want to mention too, actually, for any of the previous conversations we've had, for people just joining us, you can always listen back on the Go Loud app. There's a specific making babies section there, so people will be able to listen back to all of your advice and expertise.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.